Week 6 in the books, Week 7, waiver wire ads and trade targets. I'm your host, Sky Guasco, here on the Razzball Fantasy Football Show, joined by my man, Matt Stiles, breaking down all of the ads and trade targets. Before we get going, we want to make sure that all of our Razzballers are aware of Good Sports. It's a wonderful youth organization with $88 million in collective funds for equipment distributed, 50 states around the country, 9 million children served, 6,100 youth organizations eligible to receive those equipment donations, and about 60,000 individual play packs distributed. 10% of all the donations and contributions from Razzball go to our friends at Good Sports supporting underprivileged children. If you'd like to communicate and contribute, make sure you hit one of our barcodes during the Sunday live show or during the week. Without any further ado, let's get into the Week 7 waiver wire ads and trade targets. Welcome back, everybody, to the Razzball Fantasy Football YouTube show. I am your host, Sky Guasco. You can find me on Twitter at Sky Guasco, SKYGUASCO, and of course, joined by my man every single Tuesday, Mr. Matt Stiles, Stiles08. And as you can tell, folks, here's the deal, all right? Niners are in shambles. I'm a huge Marcus Mariota fan. I'm probably his only fan left other than his family. I'm a Duck homer. Love Marcus Mariota. But embarrassing my boys is not a nice thing to do. So I had to kind of almost dress for a funeral for my Niners a little bit. And then, Matt, I don't want to dig too deep because we had to deal with the Giants last week. But back-to-back New York losses, I don't know has ever happened in the NFL. Maybe ever. Certainly not in the last two decades. Packers are not looking good either, man. You and I are in a little trouble. So who's your new favorite team in the NFL heading into Week 7?
Yeah, I'm certainly not in a New York state of mind after those 2 weeks. But I will tell you, I think, honestly, that the team that's going to blow out this week is going to be Indy. I think Indy's going to put a lot of points on the board against Tennessee. So we shall see if Matt Ryan can stay upright, and he's featured in my waiver wire article. He's not the feature of all features, but he's out there, and I would not be shocked if they continue to find a way to do what they did this past weekend. So Indy is the Week 7 favorite for me. I may not even tune into the damn Packers at this point.
maybe my dad has this weird thing about like watching games. He feels like he jinxes our teams. So like when the Warriors make the playoffs or the Giants or the Niners make the playoffs or Bay teams, he doesn't watch playoff games. He just like won't do it because he feels like he jinxed him. He watches the highlights after the fact. And anyway, so maybe that's one thing. Maybe skip a week, see what happens, and then you could come back for the highlights after the fact, man. All right. Well, we're dressed to impress, of course, here on the Razzball Fantasy Football YouTube show. If you're not able to watch us and check out our wonderful dress attire here, you can check us out audibly via the Razzball podcast as well. So you can catch us when you're on the go. Make sure to subscribe, hit the bell, leave a comment for your favorite waiver wire ads and trade targets for Week 7. And of course, leave a rate and review on the podcast. We much, much appreciate that. Of course, you can find us on Twitter, but you can find everything Razzball at Razzball and at Razzball Fantasy as well. Also, every single week, we tell you this constantly, the waiver wire ad article is written by Matt. It is on Razzball.com for free. The trade targets article is written by me on Razzball for free. We saw our friend Jacob Charno jump on last week. He does starts and sits for us every single week on Razzball.com for free. Plus all of the tools like the slot versus wide that we produced during the Sunday live show. So many tools for you at Razzball.com. Make sure to go check it out with all of our daily shows as well. All right, Matt. Well, let's get into it here. We've had enough gripe kind of about the Packers and the Niners. I heard a stat today that made my skin crawl a little bit, and it makes me sad for people like you and I who spend too much time on fake football. We are 125 touchdowns short of last year at this time. Can you believe that? In the NFL, 125 touchdowns short of where we were last year, all across the NFL.
Most of it in Denver.
It's unbelievable, right? So you're thinking on your roster, like, oh my God, my roster's terrible. All these guys I drafted to be amazing aren't. What's happening? Well, guess what? Most likely your opponents and league mates are also dealing with similar situations outside of a handful of players. Yeah. So slim pickings on the waivers, unfortunately, this week, man. But this is your wheelhouse. Let's get right into it. You can catch this article for free right now on Razzball.com by Mr. Matt Stiles. Matt, I'll let you kick it off here. Who is your number one waiver ad of the week? And then we'll break it down per position.
As much as I want it to be Matt Ryan, I think that's a little too easy after what he did this past weekend. And I even mentioned, and so we'll get to him in a minute. But my number one guy is Rondale Moore. The Hollywood Brown injury, we heard yesterday, is probably not season ending, but it's probably fantasy football regular season ending. And he may pop around playoff time. I think their bye is week 13. So he's going to have the earliest he's probably going to be back is week 14. But he's going after a second and possibly a third opinion to try to figure out if he can get back to it sooner. It's a non-surgical fracture, which means it's not soft tissue and it just needs to heal. So maybe Hollywood's a fast healer. Maybe they've got some good doctors and nurses there with the Arizona Cardinals that can get him back going. But if you've ever had a fracture in your foot or your ankle, it hurts, and it hurts for a while.
Long lasting, yeah, absolutely.
And again, it just needs to heal. So they're going to have to let him get from where he is today to where he needs to be. Now, with that, I know a lot of people are going to say, well, what about DeAndre Hopkins? I've said it on this show before. He's not going to be 2016 DeAndre Hopkins, and I'll die on that mountain. Now, he may be good. He may get peppered with targets. But you look at the guy in the slot who is guaranteed to get targets, and Kyler Murray's got to find a way to get the ball out of his hands faster, and that's Rondale Moore. And for me, I think that it's easy because people are going to be looking at Hopkins to be their season savior, and I'm not sure he's going to be that guy. A.J. Green, too old, too decrepit, can't move, can't get separation, even though I love him, and I loved him in Cincinnati. But he's not the same guy. He's like Julio Jones, right? They were great when they were great. They're not that those guys anymore. Ertz will take targets away, but he opens up more room for Rondale Moore. The way that the good tight ends, Goddard and Ertz and, you know, your Kelce's and your Andrews do. They open up the middle because they are forced to be covered. You have to pay attention to them. And even though Rondale Moore's average depth of target was atrocious this past weekend, he still put up double-digit fantasy points. So Kingsbury's an offensive mind. My thought process is that he's going to have to figure out a way to get better, and why not put it in the hands of a kid that can just absolutely fly. So give him short targets and see what he can do. Now, he's not a big dude, right? So he can't take a lot of hits and punishment, but neither is Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp's not a big dude and can get it done. I'm not saying Rondale Moore is Cooper Kupp. I'm just saying that in that slot position, he can garner a lot of attention and a lot of targets. And I expect that to happen with Hollywood down.
Rondale Moore has seen a 21 and 28% target share over his last two games. He's been healthy for three. He kind of worked his way back slowly a couple of weeks ago in week four, but week in five and six, he's seen, again, 28 and 21% target share, which is great. Now, a lot of mix-up at wide receivers, as you had mentioned. Robbie Anderson coming in, Nuke coming back, Hollywood going down, Zach Ertz playing well at tight end three on the season. The running game, not quite there for the Cardinals, so we'll see what happens. But Rondale Moore there, the number one pickup overall. Now let's talk about the rest of our positions here. You mentioned Matt Ryan was maybe too easy of a call for the overall, so you left him out of the top slot, if you will. But is he worth at least a pickup at the quarterback position?
Well, remember, right, basically I said at the top of my article that waiver or not waiver, but the waiver wire is the way that you're going to solve injuries and bye weeks. And I think both the injuries suck this year. I mean, I'll just be – playing. It's terrible.
Awesome.
Their injuries are just just out of this world. And now you throw in the bye weeks, right? We're missing Jalen Hurts. We're missing Kirk Cousins. We're missing Matthew Stafford, though he hasn't been great. And hit me with the fourth team because I forgot about it. Yeah, Buffalo, Josh Allen,
yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. So you're not going to find Josh Allen on the waiver wire. You're not going to find Jalen Hurts. But you can find somebody similar to Kirk Cousins. And I think right now, Matt Ryan, and mind you, so he balled out on Sunday. Matt Ryan, here's a stat you may not know. He threw zero interceptions. He had zero fumbles, and he was sacked exactly zero times in that football game. That's not sustainable in the NFL. So he's going
to especially not for him. Can't move.
Yeah. He is pretty stationary. But if they figured out a way to get the ball out of his hands a little bit faster, they figured out a way to get Paris Campbell in the end zone. They figured out a way to get Alec Pierce down the sidelines in the end zone, and they figured out how to get 400 targets to Michael Pittman. Yeah. This is going to be okay for the Colts, and that's why I picked them this week. Plus, Jonathan Taylor was trending to be back and play, and he was a late scratch, I believe, on Saturday that he went to out. Deion Jackson went crazy, but he's got a quad injury. If Taylor is, I think, even 85%, they're gonna play him. That's an easily winnable division, and they need their best player on the field. So that is Jonathan Taylor. I think with him coming back and Ryan with a little bit of confidence and the receivers with confidence, even though the tight ends disappeared, and that's okay for most people because you don't own any of those three tight ends, then I think Matt Ryan's the guy I would go after. Now, he's right now is 28% rostered, right? So savvy guys picked him up a week early, or savvy owners. So we'll see what happens on your individual waiver wire. But that's a 72%. He's available league percentage. So I would say if he's there, go get him, especially if you – like I lost Cousins this week, so I've got to find somebody to fill the void. By the way, I lost Cousins and Jefferson, so –
yeah,
it's going to be a rough week, but you know, 6-0, you can afford at least one loss.
One of my opponents, congratulations on the undefeated so far. One of my opponents has Josh Allen and Kirk Cousins on their roster, which has gotten them to 6-0 as well. This right. week, both of those guys are out. The only quarterback on waivers in our league is Taylor Heinicke, who will be starting for the Washington Commanders with Carson Wentz out. So I actually want him to pick up Taylor Heinicke to play against me at Green Bay. Let's hope your Packers can beat up on the Commanders. If not, we might not even have you for this program moving forward.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers may just walk off the field and not.
I'll leave it at that. All right, we talked about Matt Ryan. Anybody else? Any other quarterbacks worth picking up?
Yeah, again, right? It's waiver wires and it's injuries. I think that if you want slow and steady, right, because sometimes that wins the race, Ryan Tannehill, he just kind of does. He's like Kirk Cousins light. And so if you kind of want the carbon copy of Kirk Cousins and a guy that can kind of just get it done. And by the way, he's involving Derrick Henry in the pass game. So if you get Derrick Henry in the flat, the fact that he is just a huge human being and now he's figured out how to catch the football, I think Tannehill will get you right. His floor is good. He probably doesn't have a massive ceiling with no AJ Brown, but he's got a good floor and he's relatively safe. He turns the ball over here and there, but he hasn't been terrible this year. So I think if you're looking for a decent floor starting quarterback, Tannehill's a guy that you should look at. And then you mentioned, right, my honorable mentions are Famous Jameis. If he comes back, he's going to chuck the football. Like we said, we don't care about interceptions in fantasy football right. unless you have a really strange league that penalizes significantly for interceptions. Now, you have to keep an eye on that, right? Are they comfortable with Andy Dalton? Do they want Jameis back? I don't know. But Olave's back. Kamara has been playing well, so he might be somebody to watch, and that he's probably sitting on the waiver wire with the same percentage of roster as Matt Ryan. And then I'd go with Daniel Jones because he just seems I mean, they're damn 5-1. It makes no sense. They're not good, but they're 5-1, so the record's all that matters. He runs the ball from time to time. I think he's got a little dinged up foot. But if you need somebody, he's viable. And then you already mentioned the other guy, right? 86% available is Marcus Mariota. That's my man. Still got gas in the tank, right? He outran two guys to the pylon and scored a touchdown. So multiple touchdown week for him against a what we would have thought was a pretty significant and strong defense going into
season. Yeah. And you know, I'm not a big make excuses for your team losing kind of a guy. I'm a very realistic sports fan. But the realistic approach for the 49ers right now on defense is they are destroyed. They just lost three offensive linemen, obviously two running backs, and their defense is completely destroyed right now. So Marcus got the win. The Falcons are playing well. They're actually number two in the NFC in points scored, which is insane, behind the Seahawks, which everybody saw coming. But nonetheless, the Falcons are playing well. Marcus is playing well, and the Niners got beat up. But I like it, man. He's a good – look, he's going to get you 17, 18, 19 points, but he only throws the ball 17, 18, 19 times a game. So if he doesn't get that 50 yards passing, you might be in trouble. Let's move on to running backs here. Who are your top running backs to pick up this week?
Yeah, so for me, it's kind of a weird ad, right? It's Jonathan Taylor, right? Adding from your IR if he's coming back. But I think you have to pay attention if he's not coming back and Deion Johnson is still 57% available. Keep an eye on his quad injury. But if he's back, I mean, 10 targets, 10 receptions. He had 50 some odd yards rushing and found the end zone. And he was a week six win league winner, right? Absolutely. He won games for people. So I would keep an eye on Jonathan Taylor news, keep an eye on Deion Jackson quad news. But it could be addition by addition as far as Taylor goes. If he's back, then you don't need to add Deion Jackson. But if he continues to struggle to get back on the field, Jackson's available in over half of the leagues.
And when Nyheim Hines out as well, I mean, yep. Deion Jackson becomes that immediate handcuff. So, you know, 120 all-purpose yards and a touchdown. You like to see that. And obviously the Colts were rolling last week. Yep. How about another running back?
Well, J.K. Dobbins owners had an absolute nightmare when his knee tightened up. I'm not sure what that means, but any kind of significant surgery like the one he had, when they say a knee tightened up, it's probably just a way of hiding what's really going on. And maybe he's just not fully healthy. He looked pretty good, right, rolling into the game, but he only had a few carries and the knee tightened up. And then guess what? Everybody's nemesis, the guy that you always play on bye week and he always seems to blow up when he's playing for the other team, is Kenyon Drake, 5% rostered. I have been trying to buy Gus Edwards everywhere I can off the waiver wire. He hasn't played a down yet, right? I still like Gus, but put him on a milk carton. Nobody's seen him. I don't know when he's going to actually play, even though they've said he's healthy enough to get back into practice and on the field. So right now I like Drake at 95% available. Now, do I think he's going to do what he did last week? No, but if he's playing against me, and you feel free to ask me that question, I'll look at the if he's playing against me, he's going to ball out. There's no doubt.
All right, good. Well, hey, check your rosters and update the Razzball universe if you can. If you're playing against him, we'll go ahead and throw him in the start sits on Sunday morning then, so we can make sure to get Kenyon Drake rolling there. All right, any quick honorable mentions, just guys to kind of blast through in case those top dogs aren't available?
I think Indy's going to get out to a lead, and I think Dontrell Hilliard is going to be the check down guy for Ryan Tannehill, so it kind of pairs up with Tannehill. Now, I don't expect a whole bunch of volume, but I like what he's done so far. He's got a couple of touchdowns. He's catching the ball, and he seems to be able to get up and down the field.
Behind King Henry, of course, in Tennessee.
Of course, yep. Latavius Murray, if you watched him last night, he looked better than what I thought he would. And there's something weird happening with Melvin Gordon.
He got straight up benched.
But
should he hurt? I don't think he's hurt.
No, should he have been benched at any one of the four fumbles previous to that when he was taking Javonte's carries? It was just a weird, right?
I agree.
If you watched him, he just seemed to not – his give-a-shit meter was really low last night. Now, maybe he was just – that was the look like, I really don't – you're going to put me on the bench? That's fine. I've got a contract. I'm getting paid. But he didn't seem to have any – you know, he didn't pull a Robbie Anderson and flip out on the position coach. But it's almost
he could pull an Allen Robinson last year, though.
That's true.
For real, dude. Like, these guys are world-class. I don't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry. I've been, like, hot about this for 2 years, though. It's like, people are like, how could a professional athlete give up on his team? I'm like, they're human beings.
Right.
Like, Robbie Anderson is kind of a clown. He's had his shit anyway previously. But Allen Robinson's been stellar his whole career. Last year, he was like, look, you guys aren't playing for me. I'm not playing for you. I'm trying to help out. And I'm not saying Melvin Gordon's giving up on his team, but he's supposed to be the top dog. He's a good veteran. He's been fine. Latavius Murray also has been a vet. They bring him out of nowhere off the street, off a practice squad. He comes in and takes all the reins, and the Broncos are a dumpster fire. Jerry Jeudy and Melvin Gordon had a little clip that went around social media. Both of them were kind of talking to each other, shaking their head, like, what the hell are we doing here?
Yeah.
You know, like, it's a shit show. And I feel for the guy, but I'm not saying he's giving up by any means. But if there's a little more, less oomph in his step, it could be justified a little bit.
Yeah, he was just standing there. He didn't seem to be involved in any of the discussions and any of the, you know, but of course the camera's going to show what the camera wants to show, right?
Ratings, of course.
So, but I kind of had Mike Boone in there before Murray. Then the game goes off and I'm like, well, now they're not even using Boone. And Murray, you know, he had over 50 yards rushing and he's like 100. So maybe Nathaniel Hackett's not as good as we think Nathaniel Hackett is. I don't know. The Broncos are just an absolute mess.
Yeah.
If you watched any of the stuff before where they kind of, you know, again, the Russell Wilson story is just tired. It's played out. Less ride. I'm over it. I'm done. I think he's trying to be this good person. And he's trying to be likable. He's just not, right? He's just blah. He's meh. He's milquetoast. He was great. He won in his second year in the league. He looked great. He was fun in Seattle. They loved him. But they, you know, like we talked about, my buddy said 2 years ago, this guy, we've got to get rid of this guy while there's some type of value. And it took them 2 years to do it, but they did. And they got value in the trademark. And it looks like Denver was absolutely fleeced.
Yeah.
Deal. Even if Drew Lock never plays a down again, they were fleeced. It was an absolute steal. And look at the contract they paid him. I mean, Aaron Rodgers' contract is ridiculous, but Russell Wilson's is going to go longer, and it's going to be they're going to have to suck that egg for a while.
I totally agree. Totally agree. Strange happenings. Yep. Spooky, if you will.
If you watch Sony Michel, right, Joshua Kelly got dinged really early. Michel did – he wasn't awesome, but he had the type of usage that says to me, all right, if I need a waiver wire filler, right, I gotta put somebody in the lineup. I like the fact that he got touches and he was in there in both rush and pass situations. Again, he didn't have great numbers, but I like the fact that a running back too, because they can't use Eckler on every down. They'd love
they
to.
Try.
Yeah, they sure try, but he should have had more carries last night too. But Michelle, at 3% rostered, I mean, that's a guy you should at least look at depending on how deep your problems go.
Sure, fair enough. A lot of running back options. None of them are super exciting per se. But if you're hurting with all these high profile teams, again, the Vikings, Eagles, Rams, and Bills on bye, so you're missing a lot of fantasy teams. I counted about 24, 25 startable players, including kickers and defenses, on all four of those teams combined. So that's a lot of fantasy value on the bench this week.
This is Michael Rosenbaum. Hey, folks, let me tell you that drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that will change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
All right, let's move on here to the wide receivers. Give us a couple wide receivers on the waiver aisle.
Just above 50% is Darnell Mooney. As much as I hate to recommend a Chicago player, he's pretty good at football. Justin Fields may be getting slightly better every week. And if Justin Fields keeps running, that's going to force defenses to pay attention to him, which means Mooney should have a little bit less attention. No idea what happened with Chicago to start the season. They were just awful, just really, really, really bad. And they are the worst team against the run, which means if they get out to remind me who they're playing, New England, if Ramondre gets out and it's just plowing through them and they need to play catch up, Fields is going to have to throw a little bit. And I think that when he throws, it's obviously not Cole Kmet, who I thought it was going to be the guy this year. It's going to be Darnell Mooney. So, you know, he's still available in 46% of leagues. And I would say, again, bye weeks, right? A lot of people gave up, they dropped him. So consider adding him and giving him a shot. He's put up decent numbers the last couple of weeks. He's not a game changer, but again, what, like I said in the article, you have to chase points. You have to figure out a way to put some points in your lineup. Derek and I, right? Derek from the Sunday show, who's not with us tonight because he's out writing his article. We won in our second home league with Chase Edmonds and Rashad White as our running backs.
Nice.
Because they put up just a couple of points, right? You needed a couple kickers points in the lineup, and that was the best we could do on the wire. We added them. We didn't love it, but they scored a couple points. They stayed positive. And I mean, Edmonds was awful. I dropped him as soon as the game was over. He's just
sure.
I got a couple of points out of him. So you want guys that are not Chase Edmonds. You want to try to find somebody that has name value that you know is going to put up stats. And I've never been impressed with Edmonds, but Mooney I've been impressed with, right? He's put up numbers, so he should normalize. And the other guy I've got is Donovan Peoples-Jones, 85% availability. I think Brissett is good enough to spread the ball around. Some weeks are Amari Cooper weeks, like we've discussed. Some weeks are everybody else weeks. Now, I expect the Browns to get back to Nick Chubb, right? He did not have, I think he only had 15 carries, very few yards for a Nick Chubb Sunday. So I think they're going to get back to it, which should open up more passing lanes for Donovan Peoples-Jones, who is a pretty good player, right? We saw that last year. And he's, again, you need points. So find a guy that's going to play every down and is going to score some points. And again, I think he has a pretty decent floor. He's got double. I think he's got over. He's averaging 10 points over his last three games, which is not great, right? It's not Cooper Kupp numbers. It's not Justin Jefferson or Gabe Davis numbers. But it's still 10 points. And how many times have you lost a game by 1 point?
Absolutely.
By 5 points. By 7 points. So somebody you should at least consider.
Yeah, the Browns defense is not as vaunted as it was in the beginning of the season either. They've had a couple injuries, so it's been tough there. How about a couple? How about a couple honorable mentions before we look at the tight end?
So I went with my honorable mentions. I went with guys to stash, right? A trick you can use, or a technique. I guess trick's not the right word. Well, it is close to Halloween, but a technique you can use is to stash guys that are on their bye week, right? Don't pay for them in Fab. Just wait for them to sit out there until the waiver's clear. And look at Skoronek, who had a pretty good Sunday. Look at Allen Robinson, who's been dropped in a lot of leagues, that had a decent Sunday. And look at Jameson Williams for the Lions, who should be coming back relatively soon. The Lions are going to throw all day, all the time. Even when Swift is back, they're going to chuck the ball. And I think those are three guys you could at least look to kind of just stash. And think about this. You could put Williams. You drop somebody, put Williams on the IR, and pick up somebody else for the week. So I think he's a good IR stash if you have an IR spot. But Skoronek is kind of an interesting guy that's only 2% rostered right now. So
I dig it. All right, let's move on to the tight end position here, and then I'll take a quick sip of water and get into some trade targets.
Daniel Bellinger is about the only living, breathing tight end that is worth even starting, and he's trash. And the reason I didn't put Robert Tonyan ahead is because I'm so mad at the Green Bay Packers that I wasn't going to give them any.
You're protesting. I understand.
No ink, but Tonyan.
Totally valid.
He's on there but I honestly think Tonyan's probably the better ad because with Randall Cobb, the news today that he's out at multiple weeks.
Yeah.
Christian Watson's down. Sammy Watkins, they said, may come back, but he's washed. And what does Rodgers do? Rodgers throws to guys he thinks he can trust. So I think it's going to be Lazard, Tonyan, Dobbs, and then the two running backs. But I mean, if they don't put up 35 or 45 points at home this week, the crowd will just implode. So I actually like Tonyan better than Bellinger, but like you said, I'm protesting right now. So I put Tonyan in the honorable mention with our buddy Kate Otten, who actually had he's had a couple of nice games with Brady.
I was just going to bring him up.
Yeah, Brady's going to have to cook, right? He chewed out the offensive lineman. So, there's expectation that he needs to show out this weekend.
Yeah.
And then super, super, super deep is Juwan Johnson.
Nice.
For the Saints.
Yeah, that's been Bob's guy for a couple of weeks. I like that one. Jelani Woods, when healthy as well. Unfortunately, Cameron Brate had a concussion once we got Kate Otten in, and then Cameron Brate got hurt again. A lot of people thought it was a second concussion. It was actually a sprained neck, which I can't believe it's quite rough. So let's whip it up here quickly, and we will get into it here. I know we have a Chris coming in maybe with a quick question, but I want to get rolling here best that we can. So let me give Matt, there was a lot of chatting on your side. Appreciate it. Again, everybody can look at Matt's article on Razzball.com. The waiver wire article is free on Razzball.com right now under the NFL section. Go find it in our other articles as well. I'm going to take a couple minutes to break down my buys and sells for trades. And then, Matt, I would love for you to break down and give me your feedback on it. We'll make it a bit quicker this week here. Let's go on the buys first. These guys are looking to buy low. My quarterback is Dak Prescott, right? He's looking to come back off of the injury list. Not a big-time injury. Of course, we knew his foot fell off a couple years ago. He was out a season and a half. He wasn't quite the same. This year, he breaks his tears a ligament, breaks his thumb. He's looking to come back, so he'll be all right. Now, Cooper Rush has been totally fine for the Cowboys. And look, we can make fun of Cooper Rush all we want and the Cowboys, whatever. The reality is he won four of his games.
Yep.
And he played a buzzsaw. The only team better than the Cowboys in the NFC is the Eagles, which they barely lost to on Sunday night anyway. So Cooper Rush may have continued to win games. The point is he did lose, so Jerry's now off the hook, where he can bring in Dak Prescott and not feel bad about it. So I think Dak will start the next game, even if he doesn't, worth the stash there at quarterback position. And he's cheap right now because he hasn't played. Nobody knows what's going to happen. I would go look at Dak Prescott. My running back is going to be Joe Mixon. This is a tough one here. He's got two total touchdowns on the year, one receiving, one rushing, right? We know that this offensive line for Cincinnati was supposed to be much better. It has not been. He has been, Joe Burrow has been sacked consistently. Unfortunately, Joe Mixon not getting it started. However, he's getting workhorse work, And that's what we want from our starting running back. So Joe Mixon, I think, will eventually get the touchdowns. He's looking to regress in a positive. So go look at Joe Mixon, who might be one of those top priority running backs, maybe on the cheap currently. Wide receiver here, Brandon Ayuk of my 49ers. 2 touchdowns last week. The 49ers can't run the ball without running backs. Jeff Wilson was my guy. He gets hurt. He fumbles right away. He's done. They got a run and gun. Now they're playing the Chiefs coming up. They're going to have to run and gun. They got the Chargers coming up. They're going to have to run and gun. They got the Rams coming up again and the Cardinals. The 49ers are not going to be able to play their style of football if they're not ahead. It's the only way it works is if they're ahead. They can't play that, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo handing off 35 times if they're behind by 2 touchdowns. Versus the Chiefs with no defense with my Niners, they're going to have to throw it. Brandon Ayuk is that guy nobody's paying attention to because of Deebo Samuel and George Kittle. Go get Brandon Ayuk. And then finally, I will throw a shout out to Bob Tonyan. I know that you will not. You're picketing, and I totally respect that. I don't have to, though. 10 targets last week. He has not been a high-profile part of this offense per se, but I think Rodgers is getting to the point where he tried to trust the rookies, trying to trust his boy Lazard, Romeo Doubs, Watson, whatever. It's not working out. Aaron Jones is not working out, right? A.J. Dillon's not been the A.J. Dillon we all hoped for. I think he's going to go back to old reliable Bob Tonyan. Nobody covers him because they have the other weapons. And Rodgers is always, you know, able to pick apart a defense in a particular slot position where now Randall Cobb is out, as you mentioned. So Robert Tonyan to me is one of those tight end streamer dart throws if he's on your waivers, but he's most likely rostered. And if he is, I think because the Packers are down, you might be able to go get him for cheap. And he's like everybody else. He might be 4 for 40 and no touchdowns, but he could be 4 for 65 and 2 touchdowns any given week in that offense. So Dak, Mixon, Ayuk, and Tonyan. You don't have to comment on Tonyan if you don't want to, but Dak, Mixon, and Ayuk, quick thoughts on them as buys, and I'll give you my sells.
Yeah, I think they're all solid, right? They're under the radar. Mixon's been frustrating. So if somebody got him like at the top of the second or late in the first and they're just frustrated by it and they think that it's just going to be Burrow to Chase, then you might find them to be frustrated and find the right deal for them. I think Dak is good, but people that held Dak are probably holding him and may not necessarily deal him. But you may find that their other quarterback that they picked up off the waiver wire is the guy that might be available, right? Remind them how good Dak is and then go attack the other guy that they may have on the roster. I love Ayuk, like we talked about, right? He's Deebo light, but he's starting to look like everything but the running back Deebo. He's starting to look really, really, really good. Strong kid, built just like Deebo, and can run once he gets the ball. So I love him too. Again, you have to sell somebody on the fact that that the Niners are going to come into a really tough schedule and maybe Ayuk's not the guy, right? You got to talk them into it. And Tonyan, right? I foresee the 4 for 60 and 2 touchdowns. Sooner or later, it's going to happen, and he and Rodgers are going to have kumbaya and hug in the end zone, and everybody's going to be happy. But and somehow we're going to forget that the the two New York teams just embarrassed us on national TV. So, yeah, I like it. I like Tonyan, and he's available in way too many leagues. So that may be a pickup I even go after. I'll keep it a secret, but I won't talk too much about it. But it's one I'm looking into.
Fair enough. All right, let's move on to the sells here. Some of these are a little bit tough, but for me personally, I'm just not buying it. The first one off the bat is Kyler Murray. So before everyone freaks out, I know that there's 4 startable tight end or quarterbacks, Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts, who are top 3. And then Kirk Cousins and Matt Stafford are at least streamable, and they're certainly second quarterbacks in super flex leagues. So why would you get rid of Kyler Murray? Obviously, you wouldn't just get rid of Kyler Murray. In my opinion, I would rather swap Kyler Murray right now for Justin Herbert on a down week. Keenan Allen's going to come back. The Chargers are going to be fine. Herbert's going to be fine. I'm worried about the Cardinals. We talked about Rondale Moore and the Cardinals a lot at the top of the show. I'll try not to repeat too much of that stuff. The reality is Kyler Murray has the lowest ADOT among active quarterbacks who have started a game. He's 40th in the NFL. Folks, quick math. There's 32 teams. He's 40th. So 7 backup quarterbacks have played, and they have a deeper ADOT, which is average depth of target, than Kyler Murray does. Kyler Murray is at 5.8. The Cardinals have the lowest team ADOT in the NFL. They're not going to be chucking it. They're not going to be throwing it downfield with Robbie Anderson. Nuke coming back is going to help, but they're not throwing it down the field. That makes me nervous. Kyler Murray had 100 yards this weekend running. That's awesome. he had not had more than 30 in any other game, right? He's not the Kyler Murray from last year. I love Kyler and his athleticism, but he hasn't been it. Sell him high after that 100-yard game. I would personally go get Justin Herbert, no question about it, off of a down week where he didn't throw a touchdown for the first time in his career. My running back, this one breaks my heart because last year he was a buy low. This week he's a sell lower, and that's my boy Jeff Wilson. You might be able to sell him, maybe not at all because he had such a dud week and he got buried, but he's just a starting running back for now. The reality is, though, again, the Niners are going to get boat raced by the Chiefs, unfortunately. He's going to get game scripted out minimum. He also is at jeopardy of Elijah Mitchell coming back in 2 weeks, 3 weeks maybe, and he's just going to take his job back. So I love me some Jeff Wilson, but he's no longer the guy full-time, and I can't trust him. So if you can get anything back, right, maybe the one of the, maybe your boy Rashad White, right, just on the upside, or you want to go get some handcuffs or something like that, or Jeff Wilson and somebody else for, like, I don't know, a Ken Walker, maybe Najee Harris, because people are frustrated on him just to get the workload, that would be somebody I'd be looking to move as well. Cortland Sutton at the wide receiver position, this one also punches me in the gut a little bit because I was a huge Cortland Sutton guy preseason. And it's not like Jerry Jeudy's been much better. He had a better game-ish on Monday. But the reality is, like, the Broncos are just a train wreck, and I don't trust him. I don't – until it happens, I don't want to see it. He might still have name value, big play potential, yada, yada, yada. You're not going to be able to sell what you could. But, like, a Gabe Davis for Cortland Sutton, I don't know if you can even pull that off, but, like, a George Pickens, somebody like that, Allen Robinson even – might be a guy that I would look to move Cortland Sutton off of potentially. And then tight end is Darren Waller. Coming out of the bye week, he better have a big game or he's going to be droppable. He's had 40 yards tops this whole season, right? One touchdown on the entire year, 20 yards, 23 yards, 27 yards, 40 yards. He was out for week five, had a bye in week six. If he doesn't come back guns a-blazing, he's literally droppable potentially in leagues, which is insane. But I don't know who I would want rest of season, Darren Waller or Kyle Pitts. Probably Kyle Pitts just because it might be there, but that's pretty crazy to me. So Kyler Murray, Jeff Wilson, Cortland Sutton, and Darren Waller. Quick thoughts on that, Matt. Yeah. I had Chris Olave in my head as I'm reading the thing. I was like, Chris, Matt, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, those are all names, right, that you would love coming out of your draft to have on your team. Think about it. Kyler Murray had 100 yards rushing and had 15 fantasy points.
Yeah. Oh, he's not throwing touchdowns.
No, he's not throwing anything worthy of an NFL quarterback. And again, I would pay somebody $100 if they could come off the top of their head and tell me the eight quarterbacks that are from 32 to 40, right, ahead of him. Cooper Rush is one of them. But, I mean, there's no way you could come up with those off the top of your head. You'd have to do some research. He's just terrible right now. And I don't know, is that him? Is it Kingsbury? Is it that they're on Hard Knocks in season and they're in their own heads? I don't know, because Marquise Brown, I had him, and he looked awesome. Right? He played great football. Zach Ertz is, what did you say, tight end three?
Yep, tight end three.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and he's behind two studs and still at tight end three. I don't know, man. What are these guys doing? It just – I don't understand it, and it's frustrating. Now back to San Francisco. So Jeff Wilson fumbles, right? He gets buried. Who gets all the snaps when Jeff Wilson's out? Did they throw? I know you watched the game.
No, they just threw.
Yeah. So there was no Ty Davis Price. There was no, they just chucked the ball around.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeff Wilson wasn't able to even work. It was tough.
Yeah. That's not sustainable with Jimmy Garoppolo, right? They're not going to, he can't throw 45 times a game. He just can't. They'll lose football games. But, that's frustrating for you.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. It's just a bad call, and it's unfortunate. Yeah. And then Cortland Sutton and Darren Waller just haven't been producing.
I can't start a Broncos player on offense. Yeah. I can start their defense every week, but I don't think they've scored 20 points this year.
Right.
And I honestly thought going into, like, the fourth quarter, I'm like, I think Sutton might be hurt. Maybe I missed something, right, at the pregame. Maybe I missed.
Well, the whole team seems hurt. I mean,
and I looked over and I'm like, he's in the huddle every play.
Yeah.
And he's, I don't know, right? Russell Wilson was good. You know, he was made Pro Bowls. He was on TV. People loved him in Seattle, right? Richard Sherman apparently hates the dude. If you watch,
yeah,
it's weird. Back after, but I can't figure it out. Those are all prime time, solid NFL players: Russell Wilson, Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy. They say this new Dulcich, right? He looks pretty, he looks really fast, but I don't know. What is wrong with Russell Wilson? That's the question. You know, there's podcast, right? You can go on for hours.
But that's the million-dollar question that everybody in fantasy is wondering and nobody has the answer to. And the reality is he is so kind of vanilla, as they say, and just his responses are always the same. They're always basic. They're always, we're going to get better. We got to learn from our mistakes. He's a PR guy 101. You know what I'm saying? It just doesn't make sense, unfortunately. So we have a couple of questions here. That I don't want to get too long in the tooth. We're already pretty past our time here, but I know that you've been looking in the chat. Matt, I'll let you scan as I've been kind of talking while this is happening. Any of these questions you'd like to bring up here to discuss quickly, or do you got a handle in the chat?
So we haven't answered Mike F. or Randy Miller. So I've addressed the other ones.
Randy, who would you trade? Would you trade Deontay Johnson for ETN? Current running backs are Mixon, Walker. Current wide receivers are Evans, Higgins, and London. So would you get rid of Deontay Johnson for Travis ETN? I would.
I think right now I would. Even though Trubisky is going to be better for Deontay Johnson than it appears as if Small Hands Pickett is. But and I love Deontay Johnson, right? I'm a truther for him. I'm all about him. But I think that that deal makes sense, especially when you look at ETN's trajectory over the last three games and James Robinson's downward trajectory. They're now in a 50-50 split. So,
and I would argue that Evans, Higgins, and London for sure, in my opinion, and then maybe even Thielen week to week is maybe a better option than Deontay Johnson. Just in general. Yeah,
maybe not London, and maybe not – I think he would –
It just depends on the week, but you know what I mean, like upside in the offenses.
On a normal week, I would start him over London and Thielen, but okay. I hear what you're saying.
And then – but well, I guess what I'm saying is he's your third wide receiver at best, maybe your fourth or fifth, right, depending on matchup or whatever. And now you have Mixon and Walker. One of those guys gets hurt or goes on a bye, you're screwed.
Yep.
So
ETN, and both of them, both of them are going to come on a bye real soon.
Yeah. This is easy to me. Zach Gentry.
I don't care. It's tight end, right? Do it. Shoot your arrow, right? Swing for the fence, right? Do whatever you have to do to get some points from tight end. But I don't care about Zach Gentry. I have no opinion.
I like it. Again,
Robert Tonyan. That's the name we're going to go with this week.
Fair enough. All right, folks, that's going to wrap it up here for the Razzball Fantasy Football YouTube show for the Week 7 waiver wire ads and the trade targets. Again, please make sure to use our assets for free. Matt Stiles puts up the waiver ad article for free on Razzball.com every week. I do the trade article every week as well for free on Razzball.com. Make sure to subscribe right here to the channel. If you have not, leave a comment below. Let us know your favorite waiver wire ads and trade targets. Catch us every single Sunday morning right here on the Razzball Fantasy Football YouTube show. 3 hours before kickoff, we're answering all of your fantasy questions, trade questions as well, start sits, injury reports. We got it all right here on Sunday. You never know who's going to pop up on the show from our team. We got lots of people joining. It's been a lot of fun every single morning. So join us every Sunday morning as well. Again, a shout out to our friends at Good Sports. And make sure to catch all of our episodes on the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast as well. For my man, Matt Stiles, I'm your host, Sky Guasco, and we will catch you next time. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful week.
Go get the Jets against Denver.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.